Hello, this is Mete Yurtsever, the host of the show Formula for Creating Value. Today, my guest is president of EWA, Julia Stark from Belgium. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here with you.
Thank you for coming. And just let me briefly introduce you to our audience. So Julia started her corporate career as an investment banker, but now she has many hats. I think they all serve to create a social impact through an ecosystem. To begin with, she's the president of European Women Association, a European organization whose mission is to empower women professionally. She owns an academy which is about femininity and business, an online platform supporting women to go from idea to business, a holistic approach, including training and mentoring. So we can say she's one of the experts in women empowerment and community building. And she also aims to bridge East and West, a bit like myself. So all in all, she's a business accelerator, a serial entrepreneur, flow facilitator, author, and keynote speaker, speaking at events, conferences all around the world. So was it a okay summary, Julia?
More than okay, Mete. Thank you so much for the introduction. And maybe even to correct, I mean, I'm not doing any keynotes anymore internationally. I miss the travel so freaking much. So now it's only Zoom. Cannot wait till we can travel again, have these adventures, seeing people, hugging people again. This is something I'm so much look forward to.
I definitely agree with you. So today we'll talk about the science behind innovation. Although it would be very good to talk about women empowerment, it's we are at the week of 8th of March, but that's a bit aside of the podcast topic. But of course, you're welcome to say anything you like. So talking about the innovation, it's one of the key components of it, of course, is creativity, right? How do you define creativity in your own terms?
This is something, it's so hard to grasp creativity. It is so hard to, cultivate, I think. It needs so much support and peace of mind to get into that state. But creativity is something we all can cultivate. It's something, it's innate to all of us. And creativity is the moment when I see it like you have an old idea or a solution. You create a safe environment where you can brainstorm, be wild and crazy. And then you got this small insight, add it to something old, mix it up, test it out, and you create something new. I don't think we can completely create something new. There is so much out there, mm-hmm. 1,000 years of old. We mm-hmm. just can change the package. But creativity is like this beautiful mix that really needs peace of mind, actually, to flourish and to grow.
Yeah, so you don't consider that this is something innate, either you have it or not, but this can be, well, if all of us, we have it, actually. It's just we need to know how to bring it up, right?
Yes, I really believe so. And I think too often it's been said that you are creative or you're not. You're analytical or you're not. And science has proven that it's not true. I mean, there are certain parts of your brain that are active in creative state, in more analytical, linear thinking. We all have these parts in our brains. The difference is some people are more tapped into that linear thinking, other into more creative thinking or emotional thinking. So, and it's more natural for you maybe to be one of the three or four. And it's by cultivating, by creating environment or space, you can actually tap into creativity. So for some people, it can be more harder than others, but it's not said that it's impossible.
Mm-hmm. So I actually also got across this, the concept of flow through Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, right? Oh, that's mm-hmm. that's the difficult surname he has to talk about. And what is the concept of flow, if you may ask?
Flow, actually, that's a beautiful state of mind and actually a natural state of mind where you actually activate certain parts of your brain where the ego part is getting smaller, where you connect to other parts of your brain where you can get more answers for certain solutions like creativity and innovation, this kind of stuff. So it's this beautiful state of mind that all of us are born to be into. And we all know that concept. We all have been in the state of flow. It may be not connected to business or entrepreneurship in many cases, but flow is something you experience when you have been working out, when you have been doing something you love. And yeah. I think that's the key. If you do something you love, you forget time. Everything becomes easy. You're perseverant. You go till you get it. You forget about the obstacles. You forget about yourself. You're so connected into the bigger picture. So that state we all know. I think we just need to learn how to tap into it more consciously and to use it, to activate it, to also grow our businesses, our careers, our relations, whatever. So it's not an accident. It's something because there is a formula to it. It's very biological. It's not something like you have it or I don't. Everybody can tap into that flow.
Mm-hmm. Before coming to that, the chemistry behind it, I mean, I don't know if it can be considered as flow, but let's say for me, the shower moment is just like that. I mean, like every morning, as soon as I get into the shower, I feel like I'm getting to another, I switch some sort of a mindset. I don't know. So just ideas and different way of looking at things starts to come up. I mean, like it's, can it be considered as flow? I mean, it's not like something that I'm doing, practicing something that I love, but or is something different, or is it different sort of creativity?
Well, flow, it can be under the shower for sure. It's for sure. This is something you like to do. It cleanses your mind, your brain. It it gives you more clarity and it calms your mind. So mm-hmm. that's actually the mix of flow. Mm-hmm. The thing that you could do is go after the shower and not checking your emails, but for example, sitting down journaling and using mm-hmm. that state that you are in to create something beautiful for the mm-hmm. the world, for example, with your mm-hmm. podcast or with the ideas or your business. Mm-hmm. So flow is actually that you've got something you love and you're calm, but then adding some time blocks to it and disconnect yourself from distractions mm-hmm. and have like 90 minutes, not 90 minutes under the shower, but like have a shower and then for an hour work on something with no phone, internet or distractions or kids around you. This mm-hmm. is the moment where you can truly benefit from that state and not just mm-hmm. only enjoy, but also use it for professional needs.
Mm-hmm. And what happens at that moment in our brain? I mean, all this, I'm very much into this reading about all this evolutionary biology and all sort of these things. But what happens there in the brain?
Well, it's been said, like different researchers have said, that flow is the most addictive state. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that happening in the 60s. When people discovered flow, when you had the hippies meditating, dancing, and actually this is when the first time flow was actually recognized as a state that can be produced by our brain. So what mm-hmm. is chemically or biologically, this is like the most powerful mix of the happy hormones. We're speaking about dopamine. We are speaking about neuropeptide. We're speaking about serotonin, like and endorphins, happy hormones that are, created in by your biology, by your body at once. Mm-hmm. And for example, when a woman gives, when she's pregnant or she breastfeeds a baby, she's also producing serotonin, for example. That's a bonding mm-hmm. hormone. Mm-hmm. And for example, that's the same hormone that is produced when you're working with teams, because I'm also the design thinking facilitator. This is when I'm trying to get people into that state where they feel connected with each other. Mm-hmm. So we are speaking about serotonin as a hormone that bonds us all together. And we are seeing the bigger vision and we are working towards something bigger than you and me and the salary at this moment. We are mm-hmm. thinking about impact and something beautiful that we can co-create. So flow is nothing else than chemistry in your blood flow that you can activate it yourself. And every person is a bit different. I think we should really be honest about it. It's not, okay, you do that, take a shower, you feel happy and blessed. Mm-hmm. It works for you, but for others, maybe dancing will work or mm-hmm. running will work or meditating is a very good tool for that. Mm-hmm. So it's that activating the chemistry. And people get addicted to that. But once you experience that, you won't do it again. You want, and it's healthy, by the way. So it's nothing external chemistry that you put in your system, although there are enough drugs that do so, and that's why they also become addictive. But that also makes your brain very lazy. So if you start doing external drugs, like, I don't know, ecstasy, for example, that has the same, but a bit in a larger amount, push to your brain, and your brain starts to create all these hormones, but then naturally it cannot create it anymore. So it needs a lot of time to like reactivate themselves. That's why try to find a healthy, natural way.
Natural way, yeah.
Yeah, that helps you to create these happy hormones and use that to something good.
And do you have any clues that you give to people? I mean, how to discover that? I mean, okay, for me, I shower can be one thing, or even even writing an article, although sometimes it's difficult to get it started. But once you start to write, and once the sentences starts to add up, you can get into, I can feel that I can get into a flow. But are there other ways to describe how to discover?
Yes, often it's by doing. There are known stuff, but again, you really have to test it out. First of all, risk. Risk is number one thing that gets you into flow. And it's maybe counterintuitive, because too much risk creates cortisol, stress hormone, and that actually takes away the flow and happy hormones. So that's not good. So finding that edge, and it can be how they did I discover it. For example, the scientists discovered that the sportsmen or women who are doing into extreme sports, they are often in the flow state, like surfers, hikers, parachute jumpers. These people are often in that state. So knowing it's dangerous, but it's not deadly, that gives us a kick. And that in combination with concentration, for example, if you have a deadline, maybe you have experienced that. So you're, oh my gosh, there is a risk factor. You need to concentrate, shut things down, and work on that article tonight, not tomorrow, like now. And then suddenly you create this clarity moments, and you have like 3 hours or 2 hours of time to get things done. These are often the tools that push you a bit towards that flow. And then again, it's up to you to understand how much risk can I handle. So I'm like, I like risk, but my husband, he hates it. He needs structure. If he feels much risk, he gets very nervous. He cannot concentrate. So for him, for example, he gets into flow when he gets time blocks. Like, all right, the next 2 hours, I'm not there. I'm doing this task and I'm losing myself. And he can create so much value in a few hours if I'm not disturbing him. So knowing that, sports, it's that combination of physical movements where, for example, if you have a sitting job when you sit behind the laptop, it's important to every 45 minutes get into cardio for 5 minutes or so. So that it looks silly, but means if you write an article, you interrupt yourself, you have a timer, for example, on your phone, and you go and jump outside, or you do push-ups, something like very that puts your heart rate up, oxygens your brain, and then you go back and you continue. So these small things can actually give you a boost mentally and help you concentrate on that one thing. And if you work time blocks and no distractions around you, that only facilitates flow. And I think it's a very simple way to find it. Think of flow. For example, when I dance, I lose myself. And I can dance by myself in my office. I lock the door and I just go all the way. This is the moment where I can empty my mind in a way, connect to my body, and great insights come because I'm not behind the laptop. So flow is not something you need to do in your office or activate it. It's often pushed by nature, something you love. It can be cooking for some people, dancing, singing, showering, writing, all these moments. But important is that you protect these moments by not allowing any distractions to interrupt the flow.
So that would be my question. I mean, what kills the flow?
Well, there, again, few researchers said, like, all right, the most number one thing is distractions. No, that's the second. The first one was stress kills flow. Because you go into the survival mode and you act say that part of your brain that all that's all about eating and sleeping and earning money, the material stuff. So yeah. Really into like surviving as a species. So mm-hmm. There is no space for you to be wild and creative. For that, mm-hmm. You need peace of mind. So that's why meditation is often the key, and it's a must for everyone. On the other hand, distractions, like all the notifications,
Right. Delete
them, take them out. I mean, you don't need all these pop-up screens saying you've got a new email or a WhatsApp message.
Yes.
So get you out of it. Even if you don't, because some people say, that's not true, Julia. I don't see it. I don't open it. But you've seen it. So your brain is already there in that email.
Yes.
Other thing is disconnection from the vision. So you don't feel you're doing a meaningful work. So that's the thing. When you feel like I'm just doing something that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. At work, that's the biggest killer of flow. It's distractions, no purpose or passion, stress, and this kind of stuff. So I think it's just common sense. If you mm-hmm. think about it, it's really common sense. It's about you more mindful, protecting your mind from all this BS info that's coming in these challenging times. Mm-hmm. That will help you to stay focused on your mission and vision. And being, for me, it's being connected to that vision mm-hmm. helps me to overcome certain challenges, like bigger, and how do I create bigger impact? How do I make a difference? Mm-hmm. And I think that can help anyone to be more connected to the flow, to themselves, and protect them from all these notifications, distractions that are every day out there.
Mm-hmm. And you said you also facilitate design thinking, and so with teams. So how is the structure there? I wonder. You're alone, or there is also like you're as a team of facilitators. How do you prepare the right atmosphere for this team to be able to create together? Even though there are different, as you said, there are people can be different. I mean, can be motivated or get into flow in different ways. How do you make a common base for them?
Well, that's quite challenging, to be honest. To really understand how design thinking works, you really need to tap into the people's emotions and triggers. And when you do it in a company, it all depends on the culture, how safe they feel, who right. is participating, are the decision makers only, how is the decision maker? Is he, very direct, or is he very open and is open for feedback and negative maybe feedback. So it has so many components. People who are the decision makers, where is it happening? Is it in the office, or can we do it somewhere outside? So how I prefer it, when I work with large organizations, I would have different intakes. I would speak with decision makers, managers, and employees. I would like to understand how is their internal relationship. To create a safe environment so we can get creative and innovative. Otherwise, everybody is just repeating what the bosses are saying. And then we're not getting anywhere, and you just lost a lot of time and money. Mm-hmm. So for me, it would be speaking to everyone, creating, mixing groups up, creating safe environment, being open about what is design thinking, about the creativity process. And if you do it offline, you really get crazy with posters and colors and acting and showing the potential solution. Mm-hmm. And I prefer to do it in the nature. So if possible, I would take out a company somewhere to a beautiful house where we'll spend even a weekend if possible. So not just mm-hmm. few hours, we'll be together for a few days to get that bonding and mm-hmm. connection and the serotonin flowing. You mm-hmm. cannot facilitate that in an hour with different personalities. So mm-hmm. away in the nature, getting to know each other better, like from human to human, understanding each other's frictions and challenges, and be open and respectful to feedbacks and see how you can play with that. So you need mm-hmm. that safe environment. Can you play? Mm-hmm. With my team, so we have different facilitators. So I cannot do it by myself, because often the groups are bigger than 5 people. It's just 5. I can do it myself. If you've got more, then we have to, like, per 5 people, a facilitator. And somebody who's very experienced and understands how human tick, It's not just following the steps from design thinking. It's much more deeper than that. But what I also ask people who participate, I wanted to get them into the flow. To get in the flow, you can do some preparation stuff, meaning it's maybe silly, but I will ask them to the week before we are going deep innovation, design thinking training, I'll ask them to eat healthier, even intermittent fasting. For like not eating for 12, 15 hours. I will ask them to have no alcohol or fast food. So their bodies and their mind is clear. So they can come up with crazy, amazing, innovative ideas because they're not tired. And when you put people in the natural environment where you and I all come from the nature, then we tend to be more grounded and present and think bigger than when you are in the office space that you know and maybe had negative experiences in that office space. So that's the thing, like going from your body, movement, connection, nature, safe environment, and then testing that and coming back. So that's how we do it. Not every company is open for that. I'm saying it for sure. But there are some who are, and these companies do create beautiful solutions that have never thought about it because they were stuck into the old way doing. And now pandemic forces you to do things differently. So yes, it does work if you do it a bit deeper than the normal training.
So I'm desperate about an example. If there's nothing confidential, can you share something that amazed you or the participants, how they came up with something? It doesn't have to be very specific, but...
Yeah, well, it can be, for example, most of the companies are very offline oriented. So you used to work offline, you used to work, you had sales representatives that will go to people, show the product, all that suddenly disappeared. So we had to really rethink, how do we run businesses or our clients? So then we would just bring together different departments like IT, marketing, sales, and developers together. So are very different and they have all different perspective. And I will say, okay, how can we still create and reach our people? And it would be very creative by creating certain experience boxes for their services that they can people can have a taste of it would be more about the experience of the client, even if you don't see me, but how can you get contact with me? We would think about how can we replace, and that's harsh. How can we replace certain departments? Because the big sales team that goes from door to door, for example, it's not needed anymore. How can we automate that? Maybe we can have like a call center, external ones, and the salesperson would rather be a relationship manager, and the sales talk can be then automated through marketing, advertising, and this kind of stuff. So suddenly... You use, for example, then 3D printing to show your product. So they come with such a great ideas, which are sometimes frightening. But as long as you know, all right, it serves the customer, then it will also serve me. That's one thing. But what also works very well, and this is my personal passion, the last 10 years, but 9 years, but almost 10, what we have done 4 times a year, we would do this kind of innovation, personal innovation journeys for your personal life. So it's not a company. Most of them are business owners. So they have small or medium business. Most of them are women as well. And it will happen in Belgium, and we would go to a castle from Friday evening to Sunday evening. And they will go through this a deeper design thing. It looks like a design thinking training, but for your personal life. And more in depth because we integrate flow states into it. So the food is light, the music is different, the environment is nature. So you have all these small things, the senses we use, the oils. So your mind opens up. And in almost 3 days, what will happen is that you will create your personal journey. Like, who am I? What do I want? How do I get there? And I have so many testimonials, like hundreds of them, of people changing their lives after just 3 days of these kind of sessions, because they would dive deeper. They would be honest with themselves. Mm-hmm. They will stop doing what makes them unhappy. They will focus on their mission, life's mission. And that will have a positive impact on the relationships. I literally met people to get emails from partners and husbands saying, like, I don't know what happened in that weekend, but thank you. I got my wife back. I'm like, this is so beautiful because it's so holistic. So of I course. Think innovation and flow and design thinking, this is something we need first to do it with ourselves and then in our companies.
Great. Yes. I mean, we are so much in autopilot. We are living the same day. I mean, we are not aware how the week went because every day is the same. I mean, like, it's just, we have no time to reflect and think about, I mean, where we are. And we are just, you know, sort of in a sort of coma. I mean, like, living. And as you said, all these external, let's say, atmosphere, environment, whatever, just pulls us out of where we are. And we could look at ourselves from a distance. I mean, in a way, our lives, in a way.
Yeah, we all must do that. And especially now with pandemic, so many people are lost and many of us have time to reflect. Well, so use that time wisely. And I know we haven't done any this kind of retreats in the last year. But then in the summer, we could come together, I think, with 8 or 10, I don't remember, like last summer. So then we would do like in the summer, smaller retreats and smaller groups. We plan to do one in September in Ibiza. It's like, I don't have the time. And this, like, when I said that to our community, it was sold out. I don't even have the pricing yet because I'm waiting for the prices for the hotel. And it's like, I don't care. You really need that escape in a way from our operational stuff, the families even. I mean, we love our kids, but admit, being locked up with them 24/7 is a challenge sometimes. I mean, even if your partner is great. But again, if you're physically together, you start to work on each other's nerves because you're focused on little things that actually do not matter. And you forget to take that distance and see, all right, but what did pandemic give me? It gave me space. And I did so many interviews with our clients and they all said, Julia, if I'm really honest with you, I'm grateful for the time I got. I don't do any evening meetings with clients. I spend it with my partner or with my kids. I worked in my garden for first time in 20 years. So I think there is so much beauty that is also happening during the pandemic. And we should focus on that because that will lead to solution, innovation, collaboration. I think that's another thing that brings the flow and innovation if we start working together. You bring people together and suddenly you have totally different view on the challenge. Like there maybe is no challenge at all. Mm-hmm. It's actually a gateway to something new. Like in our case, we worked for 10 years offline, quite successful, all these retreats and seminars. When that stopped, we freaked out. We're like, oh, and now our business model just stopped. So we had to reinvent ourselves. That we did the same what I do with clients. I would sit down, I'll have a mind mapping, I'll have music, beautiful surrounding, invite interesting people, and we came up with a solution that is much better than before pandemic. I couldn't even dare to think so big, but now we can because we're digital. So nothing limits us anymore. So that's an example.
Yeah, that those sort of crises, no crisis should be wasted. Actually, we all talked about this through the podcast, but this is the signature question of my podcast. So what is Julia's formula for creating value?
I thought about that. And you know what? I hoped I would come up with such a cool answer. But for me, it starts with us, like tapping into that authenticity, because I believe all of us are here for a reason and your talent is needed. So you as part of the formula is you, but the authentic you, not the one you said, like the robot who just survives. You connecting to the world. I think if you connect with the world, understand what the pain is, understanding what are the challenges, and then come to the solution, your solution. That creates impact and success. Because so often we are focused on ourselves, what we like, what we want. We don't listen to what clients and people are saying. And because we are afraid to change, we are afraid to let go, we struggle in our innovation, in growth. So mm-hmm. for me, you connecting with you, with the others, understanding their pains, creating a solution for that, that's it. It's not that difficult, but at the same time, very challenging to implement that in practice.
Mm-hmm. It's all about finding your own superpower.
Yeah, and we all have them, you know. We all have the superpowers. We just, I think, afraid in a way to fail in that superpower. So maybe that's why we don't really explore it to the deepest. But yes, I think that's it. And daring, I learned that last year, I need to surround myself with people who are much better than I am mm-hmm. so I can grow. That's the thing. For me, that was my year. I reached out to the coolest people ever and they said yes. They want to collaborate. They want to listen. They want to share. I did never expect that. So I feel I've grown the last year much faster than the last seven because mm-hmm. of the surrounding. So I think that's also an important part. If you're honest with yourself, if you are the best in your company, you have a bad company. Change that.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, Julia, thank you very much for this lovely time we spent. And how people, our audience, can reach you? What's the best way to reach you?
Well, on LinkedIn, if you go to Julia Stark with the Y, mm-hmm. Julia, mm-hmm. reach out there. And I think for all entrepreneurs who are eager to connect with real people and give back as well, they can always join our free networking platform. It's eweecosystem.com, like eweecosystem.com.
I'll join that in the show notes,
Yeah, thank you. And I think this is a place where you can like ask for support, share, but you can be a mentor as well. If you feel like I'm an expert in certain domain, well, please, we've got circles for mentors where you can share your expertise with the community.
Great. Thank you very much, Julia.
I'll keep you posted. Thank you. Bye-bye.